everybody. Welcome back to Disney Inside Out Podcast. It's me, Ryan, and I'm excited this week we have the Mouska Moms on. The Mouska Moms have their own podcast called Mouska Moms. They also have their own travel agency, Kingdom and Cruise Travel. We're going to hear all about both of those things with Jen, Lori, and Juliana. Take a listen. Okay, welcome to the show, the Mouska Moms. They're here. So happy to have them. We have Jen, we have Lori, we have Juliana. I want to let each of you sort of introduce yourselves. I have some facts about you, but I'd love for you all to share maybe just a little bit about yourselves and why you love Disney, anything like that in that realm. Lori, let's start with you.
All right. I feel like every time we do introductions like this, it always changes too. Okay. So I am Lori. I am from Chicago. And I haven't gone to Disney since I was five. Every year after that, took a little break in the college years. But then my husband actually proposed to me at Disney as well. So I think he kind of knew what he was getting himself into. I have three boys that are 9, 7, and 3, that are also growing up on Disney. So yeah, I think that's it on me.
Excellent. Juliana.
All right. I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. I have two little girls that are not so little anymore. But anyway, I lived in the Tampa Bay area, really close to Disney, from sixth grade through high school. So we were there fairly often as day guests, and it was always like a dream of mine as a kid to actually go and stay and do the whole soup to nuts Disney thing. And I never did it until I was an adult with children. And once I did, I was even more hooked than I was before. It wasn't like my husband thought it was just going to be like, get it out of your system, we'll be done. And it really just fed the addiction. And I started planning and reading everything for other people. And then here we are. So that's how it started for me.
Yeah. You had a successful, like you converted your husband successfully into Disney.
Not as successfully as my partners have. But okay. Yes, he goes along. He goes along. We were just on a trip and he was like, they should do this. And I said, do you pay attention to what I do? They do this. That's why we're doing it. That's why I know. And he's like, I'm so glad you do what you do.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, we're going to talk about conversions later, but I know you all have been successful at it. And then we have Jen.
Yes, I am Jen. I'm like the old lady of the group. So I've been going to Disney every year, about once or twice a year since 1979. So I won't tell you how old I was then. I wasn't that old then. And now I am a mom. I have four kids ranging in age. I have a 7-year-old, a 13-year-old, an almost 17-year-old, and a 19-year-old. So busy, busy. And I love Disney. I think that Mark's conversion to Disney was just as successful as Andy's. So I don't know that I have successfully converted my husband, but he does reluctantly tag along and agree to all of my crazy ideas of let's go on this. but the addiction is real.
I think you all have done a great job because I know you've mentioned in other episodes of the podcast, which we'll talk about, your husband's going, and I think they secretly really love it and are enjoying it.
They do.
You're right.
More than they say.
Do they?
Yeah.
I think they do. As much as he complains, he also gets excited about it. And I'm like, you do like this. Like, you're not going to admit it to any of your friends. Everybody else, you're like, oh, Lori's making me go again because that's what she does. I'm like, no, you like it. You do.
Yeah, you just kind of nod and say, okay, yeah, I know what's going on. So before we get into the podcast, so we've come out of Halloween, now we're into holiday season with the Disney parks, and I wanted to get some tips, tricks from the Mouska Moms, because another thing that you all do is you have this Kingdom and Cruise travel planning agency where you help people book their vacations, and we'll talk about that too. So as a mom travel planner, what are some sort of tips or tricks for the holiday season? If someone's going to say, hey, I'm going to spend the holidays at Disney, what's one or maybe two things that you always make sure to share or maybe highlight, like sort of as like a must do or must eat?
I think the biggest thing that we like to tell our listeners and our clients who are traveling during the actual holiday week is that it's really important to make sure that you are flexible and that you are going with the flow, because crowds, as you know, tend to be really, really insane during that week, even during COVID. And so it's really important that you have that flexibility so that you're not disappointed or overwhelmed. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't go in with a plan.
So. Absolutely. Right. This is not the week to expect to do everything that there is at Disney to do. In fact, honestly, there's no week in the world to expect that because there's so much to see and do. But when you go at the holidays, particularly the holiday week, what Jen means is the week between December 25th and January 1st, is pack your patience. You're going to need it. Ooh. But also know that this is not a standard Disney World trip. This is something that is going to be different and unique and special because there is so much to see and do at the holidays. And it's one where you're going to tailor your experience to really focus on that, I think, to get the most out of the holidays at Disney.
Yeah, in terms of like seeing stuff or treats and that, I think one of the coolest things, and hopefully they bring it back this year because they haven't announced it, is the gingerbread houses at the resorts. I love those, especially the one at the Grand Floridian. If you're going around looking at the resorts and seeing that, you know, it forces you to slow down too. It forces you to stop running ride to ride, and you actually get to sit and enjoy. And even if they don't bring back the gingerbread houses, going from those resorts, even the monorail resorts, and going from resort to resort, seeing their Christmas decorations, they will have treats that you can pick up at quick service, you know, specifically for the holidays. I think those are really cool as well.
So yeah, these are the special fun things to do at the holidays at Disney that are not in the parks. You know, I have clients that go year after year after year during the holidays. And one just asked me today, are there going to be the gingerbread houses at the resorts this year? So eagerly awaiting that announcement.
I love it. Yeah. So we have go with the flow, pack your patience, and see the gingerbread houses, eat the treats that are special.
Yes.
Great. Great way to jump into the holidays. I love all those things. So let's talk about the podcast, the Mouse Kamoms podcast. It's so great. I've been listening to, I think I've listened to almost all of the episodes by now, but I love hearing you guys discuss. You all have such fun personalities. The show, each episode, you kind of pick an area of the park or something about Disney vacations, Disney cruise, and you kind of just discuss. And you all frequently go, so it's great is that you come back and you're like, hey, I was just there. Let me tell you about, you know, what happened. And it's such a great, like a first-person account, and I think is important. And I love, too, that you all are just honest about things. It's not all like Disney is the best. Disney is the best. They don't do anything wrong. You know, it's easy to get into that rhythm. And people sometimes like accuse me of like, oh, you love Disney so much that you don't think they do anything wrong. And I was like, not true. Like I can have opinions about things too. And I think Juliana, you said it on one of the episodes, you're like, you can be a fan of Disney and still realize the mistakes. So I think that that's an important thing to realize. So how did Mouse Kamoms, the podcast, come about? Jen, did it start with you, or who started it?
I think so. I think that they always tease me because they know that every time I call them and I'm like, girls, I have an idea. They know that they're in for, I don't know what the word is, work. I don't know.
A lot of work.
A lot of work. I guess that is the word. So I think I called them. I came home from a conference one day and I called them and I said, hey, so I'm thinking about doing a podcast, but I don't want it just to be me. And I want to be able to have like a fun banter going with some people. And Lori and Juliana were the first two people that I thought of because we have very similar personalities and we don't take ourselves too seriously. And we have just the right amount of snark between the three of us. And so I called them up and I think both of you said yes, without like even hearing the entire thing. And then it kind of snowballed from there.
To be fair, I don't think I fully knew what I was in for at all. But yeah, and I think, you know, the timing was working too. So it was right at the beginning of March of 2020 Literally, when we talked about it, it was before everything shut down. And then all of a sudden, everything shut down, and we're like, oh no, we really need to do this.
Wasn't our first episode the week that everything, that Disney
closed? Which was kind of, it was kind of perfect too, because throughout the, especially the beginning part of the pandemic, when everybody in general was nervous about the world, it was a really great chance for the three of us to come together once a week and talk about happier things. So we did, in the very beginning, we did a bunch of episodes about like our special memories and that kind of stuff. So it was kind of, it was kind of nice, and it was kind of perfect timing, because people also were looking for those kinds of positive things to listen to get them through
Right. And we did a lot of trying to bring Disney to your home, since Disney was closed and there was just no, you know, we wanted that joy in our own lives.
And I was going to say, selfishly, it helped us through the first, you know, the first little bit, because we were able to concentrate on that versus staring at my children who were never leaving my house. So it was a nice distraction.
Yeah.
Now, is there a sort of structure to each episode that you all follow? Do you have sort of like a structure to it that that's consistent, or is it just kind of like we get together and
you might not know to listen to us because we're a little tangential. We go off on a lot of tangents, but we do have a structure. I think that's kind of important in a podcast. So like, you know, everyone, we always have a Mouska cocktail before we get started.
Yeah.
We try to make it relatable to the topic at hand or something, timely. And then we just get into the meat of whatever we want to talk about. And typically that is a free for all. We just talk, as you know, and you've heard. So, cause we wanted the podcast to be very casual and very, conversational. And like you said, real, that's a huge compliment, honestly, for us, because that was one of the most important things. There's a lot of garbage out there. There's a lot of rumors out there, and there's a lot of sugarcoating out there. Yeah. So we're just real fans.
And I think we also wanted it to be something like you would listen to, you know, kind of like listening to your girlfriends talking about something and over cocktails. So I'm hoping that that's something that we've achieved, because we do. We set that tone with a fun cocktail. We do kind of have this banter going on between the three of us. And we do always throw a tip in there, because at the end of the day, we're also travel agents. And so we want to make sure that we're giving our listeners something of value to take away from whatever tangent our episode happens to run off on. And we have fun with it. I think that's the most important part.
Yeah, it's you just definitely have fun. It definitely shows. And it you definitely do capture the sort of like real, if you're sitting here, like I'm sitting like eating my lunch listening, I'm like, oh, it's like I'm at the table with Jen and Juliana and Lori, even though I'm not speaking, they're speaking to me.
So it's perfect.
It's perfect. It's very fun. Now, Lori, do you have any favorite episodes of the show that you all have recorded?
I think, you know, some of the earlier ones were one of my favorites. Talking about our favorite memories, talking about, you know, the best vacation we had, things with our families. I think those were kind of one of my favorites, because it was, I feel like one, everybody got to know us a little bit more in terms of our families and why we became fans of Disney. And two, it's just really nice. There's not, as much as I talk Disney all day long, a lot of normal people, as I call them, I can't just keep going up to them and being like, these are my Disney memories. Let's chat about them.
You don't do that?
No, they kind of, you know, they're kind of done with it. So, so yeah, those were kind of my favorite ones. I really felt like you got to know everybody like through them and through the personal stories and that. So those were my favorite.
What about Jen? Do you have any favorite?
I like our guests. We didn't do as much of this our first season. We are nearing the end of our second season, and we were really fortunate that we got to interview a lot of guests this season. And I mean, as much as I love talking to these girls about Disney, it's always fun to add more Disney friends to the mix. So I know, like, we had you a couple weeks ago, which was great, talking about Haunted Disney, and we got to interview the executive producer of Behind the Attractions on our show a couple episodes ago, and that was like really thrilling for us. So cookbook authors, Disney book authors, like we, it just, I like I said, I love meeting new Disney friends. And I especially love when that carries over to meeting people in person, because I know that the girls got to meet a couple of those special guests actually in person in Disney during the 50th. So those are fun.
Yeah, I love that. Juliana, what about you?
I'm looking through, like you said that, and I was like, oh, I didn't study, I didn't prepare, and I'm looking through trying to like...
I saw you scrambling. I was like, I'll let Juliana go last. I saw her like looking, I was like,
this
oh,
is what I do, this is what I do. So, gosh, I love them all, but...
That's not an answer.
No, I know. If I had to pick one absolute favorite, it was probably, it's my most favorite and my least favorite is the one that Jen mentioned where we interviewed Brian Volkweis, the producer, executive producer of Behind the Attraction, because he was so interesting and fascinating and I wanted to ask him so many questions. That is why it's my favorite. I could have listened to him talk for hours. It is my least favorite because I feel, and this is just me being me, I feel like all I see when I listen to it, which I won't again, is like missed questions. Like all the things I wanted to ask him, but just was so, if you listen, you'll hear me like not even finish a question because I couldn't get it out. And he was so graceful that he just picked up and told a story. He was fantastic. So favorite and least favorite. Favorite because of Brian, least favorite because of me.
No, that just means you can have him back and get the follow-up.
Oh, he was so awesome. I would have him back in a minute.
Right.
Yeah, because I'm sure there's going to be more. I'm sure that show is just going to keep coming because there's so many attractions and it's such a fun way to like learn about your favorite attractions. Does anybody here have a favorite attraction, Disney World, that they like, number one favorite? Yeah.
So mine was pretty much, it's blasted all over our podcast that Splash Mountain is my favorite and that I am not a massive fan of them turning it into a princess. right. So yeah, that Splash Mountain's my favorite.
Cool. And mine is Pirates. We talk about that one a lot too. So I had a really great time with the Haunted Disney episode because we talked a lot about the ghost of Pirates. So.
I don't have a favorite. I think I do. I think every time we talk about it, I come up with one in the moment. Yeah. And then like, I love them all so much.
You finally rode Rise. Is Rise not, it's still not? I was wondering if that changed it.
I loved it. We talked about this and this is going to be really controversial. And I don't know if I should bring this up on your podcast, but
bring it up.
I don't think it's the best ride at all of Walt Disney World. I might like the Passage
So let's tangent into, okay. So I recently rose Rise for the first time too in September. And I was like, this is so amazing. I've never been on anything like this. So what are your feelings about, why do you think?
No bad feelings about it at all. Okay. I just prefer a little more thrill to my ride. So, I think it is super well done. It was so immersive. It was the most real feeling of any attraction I've ever been in. Everything felt like I was on the set just in Batu or whatever. But it was great. It was great. It was amazing. Absolutely. Right. And then the next day I went back and rode Flights of Passage again. And I was like, this is more my speed because it's more thrilling and it's more. Now, I think there are a lot of mistakes in that ride. There's a lot in Flights of Passage that I don't think are great, but it's not quite as immersive, but it does more with you. You're doing more in that ride. So,
So you needed Rise to turn you upside down.
I needed to be, I needed to fly or something. I needed to do something. Right. So, we are taking a tiny little nitpick and making it way bigger than it is. It is an amazing ride. I will do it again. I will wait again. It's fantastic. I'll pay for it. Whatever I have to do, I'll ride it every time I go.
Right. Now, so do you all, are you getting a lot of questions? I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but like the Lightning Lane, the Genie Plus, are you fielding a lot of questions right now about that with your travel planning? You must be getting them every day.
Yeah, that was like 40% of my emails and phone calls over the weekend. was from clients who were like, explain to me how this is going to work. Explain to me how I'm now paying to ride these rides, explaining how I'm paying Disney Genie Plus, but then I'm not guaranteed to get these other rides. And then if I want to be guaranteed, I have to pay even more. There are a lot of feelings.
There's a lot of feelings. We knew when FastPass didn't come back that we had an idea that this was the direction they were going. If you, any other theme park, you know, they charge you for this type of service to get at the front of the lines. And this was the direction it was going. You have one people that are feelings about paying for it. You have other people that are perfectly fine paying for it, but then all of a sudden they're angry that they have to pay for the individual attractions. You know, and it's right now it's complicated. The best thing I can tell people is it is complicated right now. It's not like a, hey, I'm going to Disney and I'm done. It is so complicated right now, and it's complicated for us to explain to people, and it's a new system. So there's going to be, you know, I keep reminding my clients, it's new. This is how it's supposed to work. This is how I hope it works for you, but please understand it is new. Because there's going to be some problems with it. There is with everything that's new like this. And so, you know, as large as it is, especially IT wise, I can't even imagine. It's been a lot to explain.
And it's coming as part of, you know, the 50th anniversary of Disney World, which we're all very aware of. And I've been asking people coming on, what are you most excited about for the 50th celebration, which is lasting, you know, 18 months? Is there one or two things, like a specific thing you're like, oh, I can't wait to do this or see this or eat this? Like, do you guys have any specific thing that you just love that they're doing this year?
So Julianne and I were there on October 1st for the 50th. To me, that was kind of like my big bucket list. That's where I wanted to be on the first. There were quite a few treats and like snacks and items like that that hadn't come out yet. Or that we were just so busy with our 18-hour day at Magic Kingdom that we just didn't get to go to. So I am excited. I am going back between Christmas and New Year's, and I'm excited to go back and try and see those ones. That was my big bucket, was just being there.
To be there. I think also we were very excited to see the colors of the castle and the colors of Mickey and Minnie's new outfits for the 50th, because, you know, we feel that Disney is very inspired by what the Mouse Kamoms and Kingdom and Cruise Travel does. And so if you'll notice that those 50th colors match exactly our brand colors for our travel agency. And we do not think that that is a mistake. We think that that was very intentional. So
I absolutely agree.
Yeah, no, faithful listeners to the podcast will know that there are a lot of examples where we believe the Bobs are listening to us, even though Josh snubbed me in the park and took a picture with Lori.
I think he was starstruck, honestly.
I think so too. That's true.
You're so cute.
I think he was starstruck. He was like, oh my God, it's Julianna from Mouse Moms and Lori. And I just, you know, he's like, I can only do a picture with one. And then he probably went to his office and like cried and stuff.
So. I think that's
I was
going to
say, I didn't really show my face. I did the backwards selfie. So it,
that. Oh yeah, no. I was being very generous when I said, took a picture with you. I mean, he got in your field of selfie.
His eyes were looking into my camera, just pointing that out.
Into my eyes is what they were doing. You didn't know this was going to go this way, did you, Ryan?
No, I love it. I was going to say, that is a really fun episode. Well, two episodes, let's do. There's one episode where you guys are sort of planning what you're going to do for the 50th, which made me laugh because Juliana's like, we're getting up at, you know, 4 or 5 a.m. And Lori's like, I do not like getting up early. And I was like, how will this go? But you did it.
We did.
And then the episode where you sort of recap, they're both great episodes to listen to, just sort of get that, you know,
to recap well, ending their night in the fetal position
in the hub.
My biggest regret of that day is not getting a picture of Julianna in the fetal position on the hub.
Same. I'm glad you didn't, but I will not dispute it. It is a fact. No photographic evidence needed. Full confession. I was done.
Oh my God. And did you all participate, or how do you feel about merchandise with the 50th. Like, it was crazy for me. I'm not a huge merch person. I love to look at it and think, oh my God, that's so cute. Oh, I would love this. But then I'm able to step back and be like, you know what? I don't actually need it, but I love to look at it.
I admire your self-control.
Yeah, no, right? Me too, usually. Usually me too. But there's two things. Yeah. One, the 50th, man, it was crazy. Like, everybody was just grabbing stuff, and you just felt like, I have so many comments about the 50th merchandise. Right. You were asking what the best part of it was. And it turns out, just being there, like Lori said, but the merch was really fun, because usually I do just like to look and shop around and whatever. And I often put stuff back. Jen and Lori.
Bye.
Influence me sometimes to buy without even doing anything, but just by being there. And so they, you know, we feed each other's addiction, as we already covered. But the insanity over the merchandise, one, made it impossible to enjoy just browsing. It was wall to wall people. But also, that frenzy makes you feel like you are missing out and you need to grab stuff. It is just this crazy. It's this crazy study in like human behavior. It's nuts.
So I was unable to join my girls for this trip. So I was watching all of their lives with our fans on our social media pages. And I was texting them like, you go get that. And you get that now. You go get, I need that shirt. I need that tumbler. You go.
It was really intense. And Lori can tell you, like, so I was ready to walk away and give up, but she was all about the merch. So we got into that park at what, 6:15?
Yeah.
And we mentioned this on our podcast, so you've probably heard me say it. Lori wanted to go right shopping. I wanted to do a walk down Main Street for all of our listeners and viewers. And I'm telling you, in that 5 minutes, we missed our opportunity to get into that store, and also didn't know that all the 50th merch was in a separate store. So it was a little chaotic that day. And it felt like if you had to be in the know, and we thought we were, to know which items to buy and which was going to be limited release and what was going to be there, you know, in 18 months and whatnot. So maybe that's intentional. What do you guys think?
I was going to say, the merch, I think it was one of my big things that I wanted to do. I just, if I'm going to be there on October the 1st, put up with the crowds, I want to go get something for it. Mm-hmm. And that was the whole mess of the big top souvenirs and where the stuff was. You know, I spent 4.5 hours hitting refresh on my phone to get in there. And it never stopped.
And I appreciate you for that. sitting at home, I was like, oh, come on, refresh that thing. You know,
Tumblr.
Don't give up.
Tumblr. But this was the crazy thing, Ryan. Like, so they were doing a virtual queue for the Big Top store on October 1st, and it was super popular. And there was some sort of impression, I don't know where we all got it, that we could only get this merch on that day in that store.
Because it said exclusive day of.
And I don't know where we got that impression.
I don't know.
But yet they had it all at Creations with no lines. But 2 days later, they had it, the tumbler in Disney Springs. It was a little crazy. I learned some lessons.
Yeah, the tumbler got me. I knew what I wanted ahead of time. I had an idea. The tumbler was not one. I was like, I'm not feeding into this. But as we went to go get Jen one, and they're just handing them out in boxes, I'm like, well, I may as well get one. I mean,
and they're very pretty. We need to do a whole episode on shopping at Disney, because did not have a plan and therefore hesitated and missed out on a few things. So
I'm writing that one down. That's a good idea.
Right. Yeah. We need to do a shopping at Disney.
I was going to suggest that, because I was like, I would love for you all to do a merchandise episode. Not exactly short talks, but just sort of like, what do you think are like great souvenirs? What do you think you can bypass? What are must-haves? Like, when it's a special event like this, do you jump on it? Do you wait? Do you know? Yes. Especially because the 50th, I agree. I felt this like FOMO, fear of missing out. And I was on Shop Disney in the morning and I was like, do I buy this shirt? Do I get this? And then it was gone. And I was like, oh no. But I was like, wait, it's 18 months. This stuff's going to come back. Like, they're going to restock.
Well, but you have to know. So can I tell you a story about that too? Fell in love with this bracelet, this Alex and Ani bracelet, 50th anniversary bracelet. It was more expensive than most Alex and Ani bracelets. So I hemmed and hawed. I didn't buy it. 2 days later, went back to Creations. It was not there. They said they'd get it again. So I put out an APB, someone get this if you're down there, clients, fans, whatever, I will pay you. Well, sure enough, a friend and client was there 2 days before I got there, because I went back 2 weeks later, just got back last weekend. She picked it up for me. I almost said, oh, don't bother, I'll just wait and get my AP discount. And then I was like, duh, you're so stupid. You made this mistake once before. If you see it, you got to buy it. She picked it up for me, thank goodness, because when I went back to Creations, cleared out of this bracelet. So, and yeah. So you never know when it's coming back, how many they're going to get, anything like that. I did read about some 50th anniversary pass holder pins that were limited edition. Like they yeah. only released 3,000 of them. Yeah. And I saw it and it's beautiful.
And you didn't get it.
There was no way to know in the park which one it was going to be.
She didn't have the choice. Somebody else, we make friends. So we made friends in Jungle Canteen and they had the pin and showed it to us. It was pretty.
It was really beautiful. Good. I was like, oh, that's a beautiful pin. But he had like this guy was a professional. Apparently, again, didn't know, but apparently you needed a virtual queue just to get into the trading post in Magic Kingdom where they had all the select pins. I don't know how people knew that. Let me tell you how much we researched before this trip, as you guys probably know, and we did not know. So yeah. If anyone knew, please let us know how you knew. But Ryan, you were talking about a shopping episode, and I do want to plug for a minute that we will be doing a favorite things episode.
Yes.
So I don't, we stole the idea from someone famous. I don't know her name, but.
I was going to say, it's like Oprah. You're like, you get an Alex and Ani bracelet. You get an Alex and Ani
bracelet. I'm sorry. Shouldn't we be saying that Oprah took it from us?
Yeah. This one is, I think yes. You were like 12 when Oprah started her favorite things. I'm sorry, that was rude. Yeah. Anyway, we will be airing that closer to the holidays. So there'll be certainly an items for your trip, Disney items, things like that we'll talk about. But I really do like this idea of then doing a shopping tips episode.
Yeah, for sure. Too.
Good one.
Yeah, merchandise with the Mouse Moms, I think is a great one. All right, let me share some of my favorite episodes. Some of them are more recent ones, but I loved when you guys talked about the Boo Bash because I'm a big Halloween person for Disney and I always love going to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. Did not go to the Boo Bash this year, so it was a nice way for you all to tell me about it. And I kind of was like, you know what? I don't feel like I missed that much. Like I always love the Halloween Party, but I felt like the Boo Bash was a sort of watered down version of that. So
definitely
I appreciate the episode where you talked about that. I also love all your, when you talk about value resorts or any of the resorts, because I have the same conversation with people when they ask me about, which resort should I stay at? And I'm like, if you're just going to sleep and shower, do a value. But if you want to go back and enjoy the hotels, do the deluxe. I just did the Beach Club for the first time this past trip. And now I feel like I'll never, you know, once you go Beach Club, you don't go back.
That's the disclaimer for sure. Yeah,
right.
I think it's in the brochure, actually.
I had a shirt that said that. But it's, I just love those.
Actually, good shirt, Jen.
Once you do the Beach Club, you never go back. All right, I'm on it. Man,
write it down.
Put it down. And I just think, being candid about the resorts and what you're looking for and the best way to spend your money and time, I just love when you all talk about that because it is overwhelming for people who have never been and they just see the price and they're like, well, how can I spend this much? But when I was at the Beach Club, I was like, this is worth it. This is worth being able to walk to Epcot, take a boat, avoid the bus, have this great pool, hot tub. Like, there's so much there. And when you're there, you're like, yes, this was definitely worth it. Mm-hmm. So I loved that. And then my other favorite episode was places to stop and smell the roses, which Jen and Juliana did that one. Yeah. I think, Lori, you were not there. Was it your birthday? You were off?
I think it was my birthday. Remember. I think I took it off.
She didn't want to spend it with us, I guess, smelling the roses.
But yeah, you came up with some great places because it's true. Disney, you're like, go, 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 ride, ride. I have to get to this ride. I have to get to this food. I have to get to this. But there are so many things to do that are not rides or not attractions, and it's fun and it's beautiful. And I think that's a great episode for people who are like, well, I don't want to go to Disney because I don't like rides or I don't like this. I'm like, well, listen to these other things that you can do
right
that are just as fun.
It's become my favorite way to Disney too. Like I said, when I first went, my husband told me you'd get this one chance, go nuts, and I did. And so we did everything and it was fantastic, all the bells and whistles.
But some of my favorite trips have been the ones since then where we just go and don't really care what rides we ride or how it goes. We just sort of wing it and go with the flow. And there's a balance for sure.
I was going to say, and I think that was part of the, as we said, like the, you know, silver lining to the not having fast passes is you weren't subjected to going to certain rides at certain times. You could slow down. You could, you know, see different parts because you weren't, it'll be interesting to see with Genie Plus because you are put back on that timetable of you got to be to this ride between this hour and this hour. And I kind of liked it before where you just kind of walked around. You feel like going on this ride? Let's go. You want to go on this one? Let's go. Yeah. So it was a little calmer where I feel like, you know, with the Genie Plus and the Fast Passes, we're going back to hour by hour of schedule. Must be here, must be here.
Right. And then there's always, too, the controversy of do these lightning lanes actually make the standby queues longer because, you know, they cut in the lines. There's a lot, but there's I just feel like there's I'm sorry to change subjects again, but like I just feel like there's so much up in the air with Genie Plus, too, because there's still some things, some very few things that aren't happening, like shows and stuff to disperse crowds. Some experiences aren't happening to disperse crowds. So I feel like. And you, I know you guys agree. We've got to give this several months before we know really how to take it.
Yeah, you said it. Pack your patience. Pack your patience.
And your flexibility.
That should be a shirt. Right. Pack your patience.
Oh, that'd be a good one too. Write that one down.
Or pack your flexibility and put Elastigirl on it.
Oh.
Yeah. Ooh, now we're really cooking here.
I do. I do our marketing. So
I love that. Well, I want to segue into, and Jen, you can kind of tell us about sort of the origins, but you all have a travel planning company, Kingdom and Cruise Travel. Can you tell us a little bit about what it is, how it works, just kind of how it started?
Yeah. So much like our podcast grew during COVID, we kind of also took the opportunity that there was a break in travel to kind of regroup and discuss what we wanted from life. And what we wanted was to be in business together. And so the three of us took COVID while people were not traveling. We took the time to kind of get all of our licenses together and our insurance together and set up our business model. We had previously been Disney vacation planners before, so we kind of knew that part of the business, and we took some time to learn about actually the business owning part of the business. And we launched our travel agency November 1st of last year. So we're just at a year right now, and it's great. We love serving our clients. I think the biggest misconception that people have is that they'll pay extra money when they work with a travel agent, and that's completely not the truth. The truth actually is that you pay for a travel agent, whether you use one or not. Disney rolls in our fee into every vacation package that they put out there. And either you use a travel agent and our fee comes to us, or you don't use it and Disney just keeps that money and absorbs it anyway. So it's kind of in your best interest to just go ahead and find a planner who, you know, you click with and who you can work with. And we do everything from soup to nuts. We advise, kind of like what we do in our podcast. We advise people about which type of resort will be best for their family or their needs. We talk about dining. And right now, our days are inundated with talking about park ticket, you know, park reservations, ticket options, Disney Genie Plus, and how to use all that. I think now more than ever, it's so important to have somebody like us or us in your backpack or just us.
There is no one like us, just us.
Exactly. No, just us. It's just so important to have us in your back pocket because so much has changed in the last 12 months, the last 6 months, the last 6 days in Disney. And, you know, when people are trying to navigate COVID and navigate, you know, what's open, what's not, what resorts are open, what characters can we see, how are they doing parades, how can we skip the lines? There's so many things up in the air. It's just so helpful to have somebody who's knowledgeable and You know, this is our job. We're on top of this every single day. We read every single article. We even read every single rumor so that we know what to expect from our clients when they call us in a panic. So that's my plug. So use a vacation planner.
Yeah. And the agents, and the agency for that, I mean, we've had it for the last year and we have 30 agents now, just about 30, which is awesome. And, you know, I think, you know, we also plan stuff other than Disney as well. Sometimes we cheat on Disney. It happens. every once in a while. But yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those jobs where, you know, I explain to people, especially, you know, hiring and other agents, that it's a fun job, just like our podcast. It's not a job where I wake up in the morning, I'm like, ugh, I have to do this again. So it's fun. I like talking to clients. Those people I can actually talk to Disney about, and they're not like, you're crazy. So it's good. It's fun.
It's also a great way and a great excuse to get us going there so often. I mean,
That's what I was just going to say. Like, it hasn't ruined Disney for us yet either. Like, you know, sometimes you take something you love, you turn it into a job, and then like, you're like, enough, but it hasn't, much to, again, our husband's chagrin, I think. But,
I think still they secretly love it. I bet right now they're in their rooms like, I can't wait to go to Disney again. And then, you know, when they see you, they're like, oh, Disney, I don't know. That was one question I was going to ask is, so staying up to date, Jen, you mentioned you have to read everything, the rumors, everything. So you're prepared for clients coming at you being like, I heard this, I read this, you got to know. But for you all personally to give advice, how do you stay on top of it? Because I know you frequently, like you go on cruises, you go to the parks, like how do you decide like, hey, we're going to go to this park and check this out while the other one's like, well, I'm going to go here. Like, how do you all sort of keep a information channel going so you're all on the same page about what's happening?
Well, one, the three of us never stop talking to each other ever. I think Juliana said this morning, she's like, we haven't had a FaceTime in like 3 days. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Are you good?
I picked up my phone to FaceTime them this morning. And you know, like when you click on FaceTime and it brings up like all your recent FaceTimes. Yeah. So we're recording this on a Monday, if I can say that. And 10 of them. And it wasn't Lori and Jen. Wow. This is unusual. Usually it's Lori and Jen. Yeah.
But no, it's, you know, we go down quite a bit depending on what's going on. Obviously the 50th, we were down there before in August just because of an opportunity. You know, Disney Cruise Line, I think, was super important for them to go. And now I'm going and Jen's going again, just because so much has changed. And I'd prefer to give clients advice and advice on the podcast by knowing kind of firsthand, because that's the best you're going to know about it. But, you know, my Facebook feed is filled with Disney. It's awesome. I don't have to see politics and all that other stuff show up in my Facebook feed because it is all Disney. But that's literally all I see on my Facebook feed. And that's how I've chosen it, by joining as many groups as possible and seeing updates that way. And a lot of it's rumors, but usually there's some sort of grain of truth somewhere in that rumor we can, you know, at least look for. But yeah,
Lori keeps me on top of everything, I have to admit. Like, I just this morning I was like, and they still haven't released the candlelight processional dining packages, and I have a client asking, and Lori was like, oh no, came out yesterday, here's the link. She keeps me honest. I admit it, like I read all the time, but this girl,
It's honestly, it's Facebook. I didn't know which restaurants came up, but I saw something pop up somewhere that it had been released. Reading it all the time, and it's stuff I want to read. I'm not one to go jump on CNN and get depressed. So,
and I think that also helps us decide what we know we need to be in the parks for. Like, mm-hmm. We knew we needed to be there, or somebody of us needed to be there for the 50th. We knew somebody of us needed to be there for Boo Bash because that was new. We tried to be there opening day. We were there opening day of Flower and Garden this year. We were there not quite opening day, but shortly thereafter of Food and Wine. You know, like we're going to be on the Wish this summer because that's important for not just our clients, but also our listeners on the podcast. So we do try to make sure, you know, they're bringing back in-person races. So I know Juliana is training right now for a Run Disney so that she can bring that to us and to our podcast listeners and to our clients and our agents who are trying to sell those packages.
No turning back.
No turning back. You've announced it. You've announced it and I've outed you on another podcast. So you better get your booty and gear.
Today's training day one, but it was raining this morning. So
no buts. No
buts, rain or shine. And I've actually been wanting to do a Disney, a Run Disney. So I'm going to be looking for your story about that. So.
Is this
never done it? I'll let you know.
Is this you committing to run with Juliana?
Well, it's sold out. The princess half is sold out.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Man.
I could just run alongside, like outside.
I'll give you my number though.
Maybe I could go as y'all, just put like a wheel and be like, this is Juliana coming to you from London.
Well, she's trying to convince me to go there to be her cheerleader. So I'll need help with that, Ryan. So,
oh, I'd love to cheerlead. Okay. Sure.
There we go.
I'm certainly not running.
No, I might not be either.
Yes, I haven't even started. You'll do it. I know you will. Laura, you were mentioning a lot of Facebook. About Facebook. So I wanted to bring up too that you all have a Facebook group, Disney yes. Planning and Chat by Mouse Moms, which I recently joined.
Yes,
and welcome.
It's so great. And I recommend, you know, if you want to fill your feed with, you know, joy and get and learn, because you guys are very active in there posting tips or pictures from your trips. You can ask questions, things like that. I think it's a great resource to join if you want to know more about the podcast and just, you know, get some, because I think you guys will post tips and tricks in there too, right?
Yeah, we do tips and tricks. We go live from there a lot. You know, we have our Kingdom and Cruise travel page, and then we have this page. This page is kind of the fun page. We're able to give our opinions and our snarkiness, and, you know, some of the images and stuff going up they're snarky, and that's kind of what we are. So Yeah. It's a fun page. There's a really good group of people in there too. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. We've got some great members, and we go live there every Thursday morning with the news. So whatever's come out from Disney that week, we'll do a little news segment every Thursday just to help keep people abreast. What else do we do on the, we just chat a lot and laugh a lot. It's fun.
Yeah.
We do. Yeah, it's fun. It's a nice compliment to the podcast because, you know, just like the podcast has the Mouse cocktail, we try to post recipes in there every week for our favorite cocktails, usually the one that's featured on the podcast. And it's nice because we're at the point also where we're getting members who are creating their own posts and comments and, you know, asking questions in there too, which is really nice to see. And we make it our job to weed out the rumors, because I think that was the biggest thing that we were finding coming across our feed was all these groups. Number one, you get a lot of Disney groups where people can have a lot of strong feelings and there's some nastiness. And so we don't tolerate that first and foremost. But we also were seeing that a lot of the Disney fan pages were just reposting rumors, and then they just snowball out of control. And we wanted to make sure that people who are coming to our social media pages are confident that we don't tolerate that stuff either, because we don't want to confuse people, and Disney can be overwhelming enough without having to weed through all that misinformation. So
And when you're a travel agent and a Disney news person, like bad news is your least favorite thing, because you have to clean up after it all the time. So
amen.
We prefer that the truth just be out there from the get-go.
The truth is out there.
The truth is out there.
Files. So to summarize our chat here, everybody should listen to Mouse Moms podcast. You should join the Disney Planning and Chat by Mouse Moms Facebook group. And then when you're ready to start thinking about going, you should contact Kingdom and Cruise Travel. Literally, we said Star Wars Rise of Resistance was so immersive. I think this might be more immersive than that.
Right.
But so, this I is like an it. Immersive experience. And again, there's lots of agents. One thing I love is you do have so many agents, but you have agents that sort of also appeal to other groups. I saw one agent that he specialized. He was like, I can focus on like LGBTQ if you're, you know, curious about that community. Like, I think that's so important to sort of move forward and embrace everybody. So thank you all for doing that.
And I think also, if I can add one more thing, if you are looking for more information and you're like on the fence and you're not sure about, do I really want to go to Disney right now? Do I have permission to travel during COVID? Do I, you know, what's the deal? We are going to actually be hosting a masterclass. That's going to be, I'm sorry, that's November 15th through the 17th. That's going to be a 3-day masterclass where we're going to be teaching everybody kind of the basics, giving people our insider tips and tricks from a travel agent perspective, and kind of clearing up misconceptions, confusion, answering questions, all that fun stuff. So keep your eye open right in our Facebook group for announcements and registration for that as well.
Yes, definitely. And I'll share like the links to everything in the show notes and on social media so everybody can follow you. But before we go, I pulled my audience followers, if you can say so, for some questions for you all, asking about, you know, if they were taking a Disney trip, what would they want to ask? What are some things? So I have a few questions if you guys want to answer, and I'm sure you answer them all day. But somebody, one of the questions was, what would you consider, like, if it's a first timer, what's a must do for a first timer to Disney World?
Stay on property.
Yeah.
That is the biggest one. People talk all the time about that Disney bubble, and the Disney bubble is staying on property so that the magic doesn't leave once you leave the theme parks. I think that's the biggest.
It takes a trip to Disney and turns it into a vacation.
Yeah.
Let's put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, I like that too. Look at us.
But it's true. It's true. It's like I said, when I was a kid, I just always wanted to just stay there, you know, and it makes such a difference.
Really it does. And I'd say the other thing is go to Magic Kingdom. Some people try to decide between parks, depending on how long their stay is. If you've never been, that Magic Kingdom has to be on that list.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Magic Kingdom. Absolutely. You must. You cannot leave that off on your first trip. Any other trip after that, that's the park I leave off if I don't have enough time, honestly. Right. But
true
your first
confessions.
Trip,
yeah, hot take.
They can't see me, but I'm shaking my head.
Although we didn't, so I said we just went and came back. We didn't go to Magic Kingdom, and I kind of felt incomplete. I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
Now you have to go back.
So I'm full of oxymorons. Or
which park do you think is the hottest in terms of temperature?
Epcot. I think that's... Oh, I was going to say Hollywood Studios.
Really? I was going to say Animal Kingdom. We're all over
the place. See, my top two were Epcot or Animal Kingdom. I personally think Animal Kingdom feels the hottest to me.
I might be swayed for that as well, I think. You're right.
I think it's also part of, like, you know, the sub-Saharan Africa, like, vibe that makes it even worse.
Animal Kingdom's the largest park, and although there's shade occasionally, it's just, I feel like when it's so hot and you're stuck all the way back, like, you're just like, this is the hottest thing ever created. Where Epcot, I used to think was the hottest, but now I can drink, and I drink at Epcot, which then I don't care anymore.
And what about, I'm also thinking about that awful, awful queue to Slinky Dog. Where you're
it's the worst.
In the
Do we need to talk about what happens when you're hot in the queue at Slinky Dog?
No, we don't need to talk about that.
Wait, what happened?
Your poor kid.
My daughter got ill because she overheated and chugged water at Slinky Dog. Now that I've embarrassed her on your podcast.
poor girl.
It's another story for another time. Poor baby. She was fine, but I don't think she minded getting a wheelchair out of the park.
Oh, yeah. It does get hot there too, but I was felt like, I know my mom personally, whenever I say I'm going to Animal Kingdom, she's like, oh, the hottest place on earth. She was like, that's the hottest park in the world. So
I think that's
the
one most people say is Animal Kingdom.
Yeah. But I think you could be right. It could be mental because you're like, oh, I'm in Africa. I'm in Asia. So there's something about that's like, it's hot. So what do you say? So if someone's like, I'm bringing a non-Disney person, a non-believer, what are tips or something you think, hey, take them on this or have them do this to sort of get them into loving a Disney trip, or someone who's like, I'm not a big Disney fan and I'm going, like, what's something I should do?
I think one, Galaxy's Edge, because regardless of whether you're a Disney fan or not, I think that's an awesome land. Same with Toy Story, which is right next door to it. And I think some of the faster pace rides, I think a lot of people think Disney is very little kiddish, but you throw them on Expedition Everest, you put them on Rock and Roller Coaster, you know, and it is a theme park. There are fast rides to it. So I think, you know, kind of showing them, I'm picturing this person more of an adult, but kind of showing them the more adult side of Disney. And then obviously the drinks. I mean,
well, that's cranky. Yeah. And I think that, I think that is a great idea, but I think also you pair that with Epcot, which there's no theme park in the world that's like Epcot with all the cultural stuff and you know, culinary stuff and drinky and stuff.
Drinks.
Right. I think that will make a believer out of anyone.
Julianne, any thoughts?
I don't know. It's a struggle because it's kind of personal, right? You got to figure out, like, why don't you like Disney? Is it the lines? Is it the food? Yeah, is it you just don't like to stand up? So,
you don't like to stand up.
Breathing?
That's a whole other issue that you may want to get checked out if you.
I mean, I don't get it, but I have. Look, there, I hate to say this out loud, but there are some people you will never convert, right? Yeah. Like, you just, there are some people you just won't. So you send them, I feel like if you go and you follow my advice when you're there and you don't have a great time, you weren't going to have a great time no matter what.
True.
Agreed.
I love that. Okay. Final question. So you're in Epcot, you're coming into the World Showcase from Future World, or, you know, you can't really come in exactly that same way right now because it's under construction, but you're coming in that way. Do you go left to Mexico or do you go right towards Canada?
This is going to shock some people. I've changed my mind.
Yeah, we've changed.
Okay, let's hear it. Because I'm a go left to Mexico, which I think a lot of people are. But
which is why I've changed my mind.
Yeah, I'm right
in Canada. Zag, right?
Yeah. We're good.
Canada.
We go to Canada.
We all were so adamant when we started this podcast that you either went left or you were wrong. And now we have all changed our tune. And it started with just during festivals because there's that food closer to Canada that I personally think is better. And I don't want to be full when I get there. But I'm kind of starting to think it might be the way to go all the time.
Yes.
I was going to say, I think
it's against the stream.
It's against the stream. You're going against everyone else. And, you know, I love margaritas in Mexico. You just have to plan ahead to make sure you save room for that. Right. But I feel like when I start in Mexico, I don't get to enjoy everywhere else. And France has become one of my favorite, too.
So I love when you start at Canada, you get to France at like just the right time. You know what I mean? With the opening hours as they are now. And so I often come in through the international gateway.
Right.
Anywho, but you're right. There's always room for a margarita. There is not always room for a filet and a cheddar cheese soup. So you got to plan.
And then the cool thing also about Epcot is, you know, you can get a margarita anywhere and it's going to be good. But some of those other things in Epcot, you can't get everywhere. Like, I don't have a place to get, you know, something from Morocco locally, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Go right.
Yeah,
we are go right
and go Canada.
If I would like to give a bonus Mouska tip, though, this is the only time that we suggest going right. Don't we always say when it splits, anytime there's a split, go left?
Yes.
Anytime there's a split, go left.
Except
I feel like there's a new
World
shirt
Showcase.
In this, too, that says, like, go right or something.
Go
like,
against the grain, go right.
Yes. Yeah,
let's stay away from any t-shirt that says go against the grain, go right. I just
We have to be specific, like,
that's
with an image.
That's a whole other podcast.
At Epcot
only, go right.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, amen. Thank you for answering those questions. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing the Mouska tips, your stories. I can't wait for everybody to check out the podcast because it is just a joyous way to experience Disney if you aren't able to right now.
We can
live
sweet.
It through all of you. But before we go, I know, Jen, you mentioned the masterclass coming up, but tell us where we can find you, follow you, listen, what you've got coming up.
Yeah, so definitely listen to the podcast. You can find us anywhere you like to stream podcasts on Mouska Moms Podcast. Definitely come join our group on Facebook at Disney Planning and Chat by Mouska Moms. We are on Instagram also at Mouska Moms Podcast. What else, girls? You can look for us. You can look for our website. We're www.kingdomandcruise.com. Anything else? What am I forgetting? I got all our stuff.
We're everywhere.
We're everywhere. We got our hands in everything.
And we meant it. Well, I appreciate you all coming. I know you're very busy helping make magic for others, but thank you for making magic here with me on Disney Inside Out Podcast. I love you. That. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us. This was fun. Sure.
Yeah, thank you, Ryan.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Such a great time with the Mouska Moms. If you're needing to plan a trip, reach out to Kingdom and Cruise Travel. They'll help you out. They have so many agents. And don't forget to check out their podcast, too. It's a lot of fun to listen to. And like I mentioned, if you're missing the Disney parks, no better way to bring it back into your life than listen to travel planners, the Mouska Moms, talk about it. It'll get you right back in the spirit. Don't forget to rate, review Disney Inside Out Podcast. Give us a review, please. I always love to read them. And you can follow us on Instagram at Disney Inside Out Podcast. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you real soon.